that forgiveness is healing needs to be understood if the teacher of God is to make progress. That forgiveness is healing needs to be understood if the teacher of God is to make progress. That the idea that a body can be sick is a central concept in the ego's thought system. This thought that the body can be sick gives the body autonomy, separates the body from the mind, and keeps the idea of attack inviolate. If the body could be sick, then atonement, which is forgiveness and healing, would be impossible. A body that can order a mind to do as the body sees fit could merely take the place of God and prove salvation is impossible. What then is left to heal? The body has become the Lord of the man. How could the man be returned to the Holy Spirit unless the body is killed? And who would want salvation at the price of destroying their body? So the course, a lot of times when you take it sentence by sentence, each sentence is a whole workshop, but if you take it sentence by sentence, he says the first thing that we need to understand is that forgiveness is healing. Most people don't know that. And so the Course says forgiveness is correct perception. So the Course in Miracles definition of forgiveness, one of the definitions is correct perception. So seeing things correctly is healing. So when it talks about forgiveness, it's not talking about the way human beings do forgiveness, which is you did something to me, and because I'm more spiritual and I'm trying to be more spiritual, then I'm going to try to overlook what I really think you did to me. That's the Course calls that forgiveness to destroy, because it's not a forgiveness that's really the reflection of the truth at all. The Course's definition of forgiveness is a correct interpretation or the ability to release. So if I'm seeing things correctly, that is forgiveness. An example, if you were to do something and I saw it as what it really is, which is a call for help and healing, that's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is me seeing what you're doing correctly. And then it says forgiveness is healing. And the Course says healing is the undoing of fear. So the Course's definition of terms is not the definitions of terms that we learn, and that's why it's such a challenge sometimes for people to study it, because they take the definitions that we learned in the world, which is what you're going to do when you haven't read it. So you take the definitions that you know of in the world. Like the expert thinks healing means getting something physically done to your body. And the Course in Miracles definition of healing is the undoing of fear. Because it says fear and guilt is the underlying cause of all sickness and all pain anyway. So from a Course perspective, healing doesn't have anything to do with the body. That healing has to do with mind. So then we could take that sentence, forgiveness is correct perception, is the undoing of fear. Because if I'm perceiving correctly, it would undo my fear. If I was perceiving with love, it would undo my fear. If I really knew I had my relationship with God really strong and I was conscious of that, how could I be afraid? So actually, fear itself is symbolic of a separation from God. You know, it's like a little child who feels like the child is protected by its parents doesn't usually feel a lot of fear, because they feel like, well, I got my mother and my father here to protect me. So if I'm really aware of my relationship with my Creator, why would I be walking around in fear all the time? So the mere fact that I'm afraid all the time is an indication that my relationship with God needs to be healed. My relationship with Source needs to be healed. So forgiveness, so he says, that what needs to be understood, that forgiveness is healing, needs to be understood. And then the very next sentence says, if you're going to make progress. The next part of the sentence says, if, it's on page 55 in the teacher's manual. It says, if you're going to make progress, that forgiveness is healing needs to be understood. Okay, so if I'm going to have a healing in any situation in my life, then I need to understand that correct perception is healing. And then where the Course in Miracles comes in, is that the Course in Miracles gives you correct perception. It gives you the correct perception of every single thing that you're experiencing. in your life. Okay. Any questions about that? Any comments about that sentence before we go to the next one? Okay. So it then says the idea that a body can be sick is a central concept in the ego's thought system. So the ego's thought system, the Course says, is the fear thought system. So another term for the ego is fear or separation. So we are in a thought system that's based on the idea of separation and fear. That's the perception of the world. The one thing that most people in the world will agree with is that we're separate, and there's a heck of a lot of stuff to be afraid of or worried about. You know, we're in a thought system that's based on separation and fear, okay? So he says, well, in the thought system of separation and fear, the main idea, that's the incorrect idea, is that we really believe that it's the body that can be sick and that it's not the mind that's sick, and then projecting it onto the body. So the body is really a great way of getting in touch with what's going on in my mind. But when it says the body, it's not just talking about our physical body, it's talking about our perception. So when it looks like I'm inside my body, but it also looks like I'm inside this room. And it also looks like I'm inside this city, and it also looks like I'm inside this country. It also looks like I'm inside this world. So your body is really your perception. It's everything that you think you're inside of. So one of the central ideas of the incorrect thought system is that it's the outer that's affecting us and not the mind that's affecting us. Okay? So that's the second sentence. But that's what the Course says, you know, like, do me slow. It's the way the Course says all the time. You know, just take it slow. Okay, any thoughts about that sentence? Just take that. Like I said, I'm inviting you to take advantage of the fact we can discuss and talk on Wednesday. So nobody has a problem with the idea that the body cannot be sick.
Well, I do. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
I just don't understand if somebody gets a cold or if somebody has, you know, cancer or something like that.
All of that's coming from, ultimately is rooted in guilt and fear and the idea of separation, and it's coming from a thought in their mind.
Isn't there such thing as germs that people catch colds from each other, like everyone in my office, and that there's weak,
mm-hmm. That's just a reflection of the guilt in everybody in the office's mind, all joining on the same idea. Yeah. Think about it. When you try to understand, in a sense, when you try to understand something that's the exact opposite to everything you've been taught, it really wouldn't make sense to understand something that's the exact opposite. You see what I'm saying? So that's why the Course is always trying to get us to get that it's not about us understanding. Right. It's about, let me tell you, it's like you not knowing that I'm Earl, and then I tell you I'm Earl, and then you can say, I don't understand that, because I was taught you were Frank.
And all my little boy in my neighborhood, he told me his name was Michael.
Yeah.
And about a year and a half later, his mom came down the street calling Josh.
Yeah.
And he answered.
Yeah.
And my whole family thought his name was Michael.
Right. So, so my point is, it isn't about understanding that I'm Earl. It's about accepting that I'm Earl. So the Course says to understand means to accept. So what really saves you a lot of time on the path is, for me, is to realize that the answer, the real answer, would almost have to be something that's completely different from everything that I've ever heard. Or else we would just be repeating the exact same thing that we've always experienced. I mean, everybody thinks germs cause illness. Everybody thinks stuff comes from the outside and affects us. So it kind of makes sense that the truth would not be that, because that's what we already accept, and we're already seeing that it never works to try to cure from that perspective. So it's almost like what the Course does is just, I'm going to tell you what's really going on, even though you may not believe it. And if you do what I say, you will see that it works. And in seeing that it works, you'll know that it's true. That's the approach that the Course takes, where the ego is all about, let me analyze it, let me break it down, let me figure it out. And I think about all the things that I use and all the things I do every day, that if I had to understand how a car worked for me to drive it, and I had to understand how a microwave worked for me to use it, and I had to understand how my television worked for me to look at it, and I had to, you know, if I had to understand how a telephone worked for me to call somebody. So understanding, really, at a certain point, you'll see, is the booby prize. That understanding is really nothing but a delaying maneuver to keep you from applying the answer. So, but I think it's very important to actually say, I got some resistance to the idea that the mind creates illness. Because then that keeps us from being in repression. And just like it's like you said about everybody in the office seems to be catching a cold, but there's going to be somebody in the office that doesn't. And all you need is one exception in any situation to blow the whole theory. You know what I'm saying? If everybody had to get a cold because everybody's spreading germs, then everybody in the office would have to get sick. They wouldn't have any choice. You know, I've seen people celebrating like 100-year-old birthdays, and they'll have them on the Today Show or something, and they'll say, "How did you get to live to be 102? They say, "Well, a pack of cigarettes every day and a little whiskey." They'll say stuff like that, you know. And so that's why it's so funny. It's like right now, the most popular illusion that everybody's jumping on is cigarette smoking. Now, there's a million other ways we kill ourselves all day and other stuff that we do that's unhealthy. But for some reason now, everybody believes that cigarettes is the key to all evil. But it's the exact same thing. Ultimately, it's going to be your belief system and your sense of innocence that controls what happens to your physical body. And if you really believe it's dangerous, then you don't need to smoke. But to assume that it's going to harm everybody because it's something that you don't agree with is an insane idea. Because it doesn't work that way. If we're really who we say we are, the truth is we're not victims, and if we're not victims, we're not victims. I like to pick and choose. I like to have certain areas that I'm the victim in, and I like to have certain areas that it looks like I'm in control of. And then the ego always jumps, "Well, suppose I came to go out here today and a car hit me. You're trying to tell me that I created that?" Yes. Do you need to accept that? No. What you need to do is learn how to perceive correctly so that you can heal your mind and you can have peace. Like that's why the Course says its goal is peace of mind. It doesn't say its goal is for you to believe that the car came from your mind. It says the goal is for us to achieve peace of mind, because when we achieve peace of mind, he says, then we can hear the voice for God guiding us. So the Course is really about learning how to hear your higher self and how to hear your inner guide. The ego is the one that goes all into all the other areas, you know, because then I don't have to work on myself. I don't have to change my own mind. But I found that when I started owning every single thing that was happening to me, even if I didn't know how, like I got to the point years ago that I'd say, "I don't know how I created that, but I created that. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it seems like it would be the thing that I could not possibly have anything connection to that." I go, "I don't know how I created that, but somehow or another I drew that to me, or I created that for myself." And what happened was, because I started doing this when I was like 23, and what I noticed was all this stuff started to drop away that was happening to me, that was happening to everybody else. And the only difference I noticed was the people that were still going through drama all the time and having stuff happen, if I was listening to them talk, they were still of the mindset that they weren't creators and they weren't creating their reality, and that their thoughts were not having anything to do with it. That's the only difference I could see between me and anybody else. And other people that I knew that were also having more peace was the degree to which they were willing to accept complete responsibility as a creator for their experience. But in order to do that, you got to see yourself as being beyond a human being. If you're looking at yourself as just being a human being, none of this crap makes sense. You just want to take it and put some on the shelf and just go do the world thing. You know what I'm saying? We are spiritual beings. We are unlimited consciousness. We are more than our bodies. You know, and if a person won't get to that basic level of understanding, none of this kind of stuff will ever really work. As long as your concept of yourself is that you're a woman trying to be spiritual, or I'm a man trying to be spiritual, the Course says then your concept of yourself is still rooted in the body in separation, so you're really not any different from anybody else. You're just a nice woman and you're a nice man, but you're still going to go through everything everybody else goes through, and plenty of us know nice women and nice men who do, like us. We're examples of nice women and nice men who still go through stuff. So it's obvious that concept of ourselves is not really any different from the guy next door. His concept of himself is that he's a nice man or a nice woman. And their concept is that, so as long as I still have the concept of separation, I'm not any different just because I'm studying metaphysical material. You know, but the part of me that learned that I was a person called the ego, well, it's going to resist every single thing that suggests I'm anything other than just a man. So when I see resistance in people, it doesn't surprise me, except that I know that what's resisting me isn't the person. What's resisting me is their programmed robot self that learned things from the world, and that's what they think they are, and that's who's talking to me right now. Your tape recorder is talking to me right now. The one that when it came into the world was taught that it was a separate human being, that part is communicating with me now and communicating with you, and it'll say stuff like, I don't believe that. And then it'll go, I can point to a million things that have proved to you that I must be a human being. And that's what I am. And then the Course covers that. Say, yeah, I know exactly what you're using to make yourself think that you are just a separate human being. Two things. The same two things that everybody uses to make themselves believe that they're separate in a body, which is pleasure and pain. He says the purpose of pleasure and pain is to make you identify with your body and make you forget that you have an identity that's bigger than just the body. So if I'm feeling good, it's cold, it's hot, this chair feels good. See, all of my sensations are reinforcing the idea that I'm just this guy that's sitting on the chair. And so pain reinforces that idea, because if cut, I go, ouch, oh, I must be this body that's hurting. But if somebody or something makes me feel real good. Now, and that's how we get caught, though, because I won't want the pain, but I certainly want the pleasure.
And it's
the same thing. And so you can't have pleasure, you can't have physical pleasure without physical pain being a possibility. And you can't have physical pain without physical pleasure being a possibility. So it's sort of like, you got to have the whole thing. You can't have a little bit of it. So it can't be, I just want to have all physical pleasure. Sorry. You can't have all physical pleasure. Because physical pleasure turns into pain. And pain turns into pleasure. You know, you can love how eating cake, but by the time you've had the 16th slice, you're in pain. So it went from, it was the same thing, still cake. But it went from pleasure to pain. And that's what the Course is so honest that people usually can only nibble it. That's what I've noticed about Course students. They're usually into it until it hits their sacred cow, which is whatever the pleasure is that they want to believe is real. And it's so, which is usually the thing, which is usually the special relationship. They usually love it until it starts saying that love is freedom. Then they hate it. When it says love is not something that's special to one person, and that it's limited to one. But then that's when the separated stuff gets all nervous and starts to freak out, because it doesn't know how to do that. Plus, it isn't even really motivated to do it. The average person isn't motivated to love everybody. They're really motivated to find one person that they think that they love, and one person that they think loves them, and to try to get that love only focused on them, and them only focus the love on that person. So they're not really inspired with this loving everybody kind of stuff. Anyway, you know, so that's where people usually run. And so the Course has an answer to that, because it teaches there's no such thing as sacrifice. Right? So it says, okay, why don't you take everything that the Course is teaching you, all your truth teachings, and why don't you apply it to that one person that you say you love? Okay? You just let that one person represent all people. Since you can't love all people, treat one person as if they're the unlimited, beautiful child of God that you free and you support and you acknowledge and you don't attack and you don't guilt trip. Let's say you do that with one person. Then I have to get honest again and say, you know what? It's just really about my script, and I just really want my fantasy acted out, and it's really about me. And it's not really about applying the truth to the other person. I'm afraid. I'm insecure. I need somebody to make me feel special. And that's what I'm really about. The Course says the one idea that's underlying everything that happens in the world is the desire to be special. Is that when you get beneath the surface, the one motivation that's motivating separated people is they want to be somehow special. They want to be singled out. They want to be special. That's it. Period. Why am I trying to be the most successful basketball player? Why am I trying to be the president of it? You know, why am I trying to make sure only you love me? It's all about specialness. So instead of feeling guilty about it, the Course says it again. All right, whatever that special thing is, why don't you use it as a way to wake up, to share love, to remember the truth, to bring joy to other people? Still, no sacrifice. So I'm not asking you to give up your monogamous relationship. I'm asking you to not attack them, don't project on them, see them as innocent, respect their freedom, acknowledge them as a child of God. No loss. But it really doesn't matter what form of a relationship that you have anyway. The Course says over and over again, the form doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what form the relationship is. It just matters what the content is. Oprah had this show on polyamory a couple of weeks ago. I don't know if any of y'all saw it. And
did
she had... I can record it, but it's gone now. But it was one guy... It was one man, and he had three wives, in other words, there were a lot of alternative, and they were, in my perception, 1,000% more secure and 1,000% more sane than anything I've ever seen in what we consider to be traditional relationships, because the news only always takes the fringe element and points out the one that's crazy, who's in the polyamorous relationship, right? But in traditional relationships, there are people that's crazy that we read about just shooting, kill each other every day. But they don't discard the whole thought system because one guy kills his wife, right? But that's not what we do with alternative stuff. With alternative stuff, if just one person is doing anything less than perfection, then we completely condemn the whole thought system, and everybody in it is insane, you know. What they basically ended up saying was they just wanted the right, as conscious adults, to live the lifestyle that they wanted to live without being persecuted for it. It wasn't about anybody else having to do it, but they loved each other. They were totally at peace. They had well-adjusted children. They seemed more peaceful than the average person that you see. But you could see that the audience was very threatened by that. Why? Because that goes against the law of specialness, which is what the Course is saying. The average person, what's upsetting them is the idea of sharing. What people are afraid of is the idea of losing. They're afraid of that. And so even seeing somebody else do it, it has nothing to do with them, was frightening. Because the Course teaches that there's nothing more frightening to the separated mind than joining. So every time there's any joining or any sharing, the separated mind gets freaked out completely by that. But anybody would tell you who's in alternative relationships that's working, that they feel more secure in those relationships than any relationship that they had with people who said stuff like, if you give your attention to anybody else but me, I'm going to leave you and I'm never going to speak to you again. Okay, if being with someone that says, I love you no matter what, you can always count on me being here for you, and you're free to be who you are, however you want to express that. I don't know about you, but that sounds like more of the kind of person that I'd like to be in a relationship with, is a relationship with somebody that I can't lose for being myself. Not somebody that we've been together 30 years. Let's say you make one mistake and it involves another person, and now I'm going to leave you and get a divorce after 30 years of marriage, after I don't care how many times I sit next to your bed when you've been sick at night, no matter how much many gifts I've given you, because I did one thing that you didn't like, now you hate me and you never want to see me again. To me, that is like pathetic. But it's normal. That's what's such a trip. So if you're in the mindset of unconditional love, then you're the one that seems weird in this world. If you're in the mindset of conditional love, then people pat you on the back and they praise you for that. And if you're a person that sees through that, it's really kind of interesting because it's not attractive to you, so you're not tempted the way you used to be tempted. And you really get to the point where the person's consciousness is more important than the person's body. Because you shift to, I want to be with a certain kind of mind rather than I have to be with a certain kind of body. Even though you have your preferences, but you find yourself putting the mind before the body. Like when you really want peace, all of a sudden you'd be more interested in how this person thinks than you are in how this person looks. When you're asleep, you're much more conscious of how the person looks than you are about how the person thinks. So when it says forgiveness is healing, correct perception is healing. Correct perception would undo my fear. So to me, the couples who could respect each other's freedom and not attack each other and also not condemn anybody else for their lifestyle choice, that seemed to me to be correct perception. And I noticed they didn't have the fear of loss that the other people in the audience had who were so affronted. So who was the one that was most healed? The people that were sitting up there unafraid, or the people who were terrified and felt like they were being affronted?
I think the interesting thing too, walking in late, but it's not just forgiveness after you're sick or after something happened. It's forgiveness throughout life and throughout process that I think creates healing.
Yeah.
Healing of the body ongoing.
Yeah. You have to have
I have cancer now, I have to forgive. It's every day it's healing.
Yeah.
Forgiving throughout, it is the healing process.
Yeah, it's as much an ongoing process as breathing, right? But it's not a chore. See, the reason why I believe that people don't like to do the truth is they think the truth is hard, but the illusion is easy. And the truth is, it's the way we've taught this hard, and it's the truth that's easy. Because if the truth is, I need to let you be and let you live your life the way that you want to live, and that's practicing the truth. Right? That's got to be easier than me deciding that Doug has to behave the way that I want him to behave and do what I want him to do. It's got to be easier. It's got to be easier for me to say, I trust the Holy Spirit is in you and the Holy Spirit to guide you and that you'll get the guidance you need in your life and I free you to live your life the way you want to, than for me to go, I've got to control your behavior, I've got to control yours and yours and yours. So the truth is always easier for me. It's easier for me to go, Earl needs to change his mind in order for him to have peace, than for me to go, Earl needs to change everybody in this room. So the truth is always easier. Anytime your ego tells you that the truth is the hard way, that's just what that is. That's your ego. The truth is easy. It's just different. The way we learn from the world is what's hard, but since we program to do it that way, and most people do, then it looks like it's the easiest thing to do because you get so much cooperation. You know, but it's really harder. It's like I receive more love from my experience now that I don't do anything to anybody than I ever did when I was trying to do anything for anybody. Because that's what love is. It's creating a safe space for people to be who they are.
Well, and controlling is exhausting, isn't it?
Just totally.
Isn't that why people are so tired?
Yeah.
So hard.
Because they always, that's what they're doing. From the time they wake up in the morning until the time the average person goes to sleep at night, they're trying to control everything and everybody around them and manipulate everything and everybody around them for their joy. Not for the other person's joy and your joy. It's just about my joy. You had your hand a little while back.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, about accepting responsibility and saying, I don't know how I created this and all mm-hmm. that. And for me, it was so much easier to accept that the mind could heal. And it seems like most people, or a lot of people, are willing to accept that the mind can heal because you've got Gerald Jampolsky, Course mm-hmm. in Miracles, mm-hmm. Miriam, all those people, Bernie Siegel saying, you know, all those studies about people using their mind to heal cancer or whatever needed to be healed in the physical body that they're perceiving, their body is whole, correctly mm-hmm. perceiving their body.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that so much easier. You know, someone says, oh, well, this, it's like, well, how can this be healed? What can I release? And then as an effect, the body, the thing is healed.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but I'm thinking, you know, of course, that's just the flip side of the coin. If you can create this, you can create this responsibility. So it's great to say, you know, I heal, I release something since I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
I've been dragging around.
Mm-hmm.
I've been working on forgiving this person. And it's like, I just said, I'm ready to do this. I'm tired of dragging this around. It really wasn't that hard. It's just that I had to go against everything I'd always been told.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, when something yucky happens, it's like, God, how'd that happen? You know, why is this happening? Or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, with instant forgiveness. I mean, I had a hellacious experience with my next-door neighbor. I don't know how I created it. I don't know where it came from. I don't know what it was. But I do know that I decided I was going to seriously sit down and work on the forgiveness piece for my own peace of mind. It's making me miserable.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, you know, trying to find opportunities. You know, like she'd come up to the mailbox and I'd fly out, hey, you know, she'd be in the garage. And something happened and I kept on looking for this time to try to put a good vibe on her or something.
Mm-hmm.
Never worked. I'm just like, geez, she just doesn't want this to work. And then I just sat down and did this work. And I started raking leaves, and I raked some of their leaves, which is no big deal. And she flew out of the house. Oh, thanks for doing it. It was just like, all of a sudden, there was this mutual willingness. It was so clear in my mind, not that I controlled her, but that was the opening, you know. I can't say I tried harder than her, or she tried harder, or who was ready, but somehow.
Right, and what did you do? Just what we were talking about earlier. You took responsibility. You immediately started to work on your own mind mm-hmm. and your own consciousness, and that's it.
Repeatedly.
That's it. But that's it.
This
that's it.
Thing and up, you know, it finally got to the point. You know, I was chipping away at it before, but something happened. Finally, I was at the point. I didn't even realize.
Mm-hmm.
But I had been willing and I had been working, but something had to all come together somehow. And I think part of it for me was just. What was out picturing looked nasty, you know, that I just had to say, I don't know. Why is this in my world? Why would this be in my world? Is this really her fault? Did we sign a contract? I'm going to give you hell as your next door neighbor so you can learn forgiveness. I don't know that.
And we could come up with all kinds right. of scenarios about right. why it might be, but what happened was you made the course called the decision for peace,
mm-hmm.
and it was the decision for peace mm-hmm. that made the difference, and all the reasons why is what I call the booby prize.
Right.
Who cares why? What really was great was that at some point you said. For yourself, I want peace for myself. And you did not make that peace dependent on changing your neighbor. You went inside your own consciousness and you started allowing your own mind to be worked with. And that's the lesson. Then once a person gets that lesson, what I'm noticing is that people tend to think that different problems require different answers. And so that's how your ego gets you again, because the test would be the next time any kind of lack of peace happened in your life, whether it was an illness or an accident or a relationship, or if you went right back to the same answer, which is, I need to decide for peace, I need to change your mind. And see, it will never change. That answer never changes, even though the situations that create the need for you to have that answer will change. And that's what the Course says, there's one problem, there's one solution. And that's completely opposite to what we've been taught. And so we need people to coach us and support us in going to the same answer constantly, not to keep going to different ones, because that's the booby prize again. You know, like dealing with my mother is different from dealing with my boss is different from dealing with the guy that was in the checkout line. You know, we think that different problems exist, and the Course says they're not different problems. There's just the same problem, which is separation from God and sense of guilt and separation and fear, outpicturing itself in a variety of forms. And the trick is for you to get fooled by the brand new appearance that same error is coming in. But if you do, he says, well, what you do is apply the truth to each specific situation that comes up until you realize it's just the same situation. So if I was having a problem financially, then I'd apply the truth specifically to my financial problem. If I was having a problem with my relationship, then until I realized that there aren't any separate problems, and I would realize, you know what, the only problem is forgiveness. I need to correct perception. There's something about my perception that's amiss, and I need to ask the Holy Spirit for the correct way to look at this. I need to go to my greater self for the answer, because I haven't really changed as long as I'm still going to my own ego for solutions. That's the other thing, you know. So as long as I keep going to Earl for the solution and not bringing in the higher self, I'm still on the same level of consciousness as anybody else that's unconscious. You know, I used to think that being enlightened was me giving my ego as much information as I could to help me handle everything on my own by myself, and somehow or another that was spiritual growth. And then I got from the Course that no, true spiritual growth is learning how to surrender to an intelligence and a love that's greater than what you're capable of at the level of the body. It's not about you trying to get more mental ammunition even so that you can take over more.
Even that whole Protestant word, working Irish farmers, whatever, whole thing. Working at it.
Yeah.
That'd be good to work at it, right?
Yeah.
I worked at it.
It's another way. What is another way to be special? Look at me. I got. Oh my God! Look at all the stuff that I got to deal with that I'm working with.
Of specialness. Sometimes it's that sense of worthiness. It's like I don't have to work to deserve to have this. This thing happened doesn't mean I'm unworthy. It just means, like you said, there's an error in my perception.
You're right.
Or that we're working together in the total consciousness. Good collective consciousness that we're out picturing a situation where there's not really a victim or a villain or a winner or a loser.
So what's the common denominator, that thought system? You're still bringing it back to yourself, and you're taking some responsibility for what's happening. You know, it's like that's what's always going to end up being when we all get through talking about the solution. It's going to always end up at some level you're taking some responsibility for what you're experiencing. And then our different personalities are going to have different ways of explaining it. Well, you're going to have your way of explaining it, I'm going to have my way of explaining it, you're going to have your way of explaining it. But the content's the same. Like I was speaking at the Auraria campus yesterday to these college students, and basically what I was saying is what the truth says. You know, there's just two thought systems. They're just basically two types of minds in the world. Those that are rooted in love, those that are rooted in fear. Those are rooted in unity and oneness, those that are rooted in separation. Those that see themselves as a victim, those who see themselves as having some ability to create and responsible. And then all the stories and personalities and all that stuff is just nothing but an outpicturing of those two thought systems. And so when I'm listening to somebody, I'm just trying to see, is this a person who tends to take some responsibility for the experience, or is this a person that always sees themselves as the victim? Because if they see themselves as the victim, it's only a matter of time before they're going to project on me. Right now, I might be fulfilling some kind of a script, so therefore they look like they treat me really, really nice. But that's just until I do something that they don't like, and then I'll become just as much the subject of their projection as anybody else. But if I'm listening to somebody and they're saying, you know what, I know I got to change, and I realize that it's my own thinking and my own feeling, and somehow or another I was the one that made that. You know, something about their conversation that they're taking, then I say, okay, this will be a safe person for me to get to know, because this is a person that's seeing that they have some part to play in what's happening to them. And it doesn't matter whether they study the Course in Miracles or whether they know metaphysical principles or any of that. It's just a responsible person is going to be a hell of a lot easier to get along with and have a good time with than somebody that's just always blaming everybody else for what's going on. It's really not complex, and that's what it keeps saying. We make it complex. We make this whole thing. Relationships aren't complex. We make them complex. They're not. They're really not. you join with somebody of a like mind with a similar purpose that you can communicate with, that you're headed in the same direction, you're going to have peace. Join with somebody that you're constantly trying to change, and you're going to have conflict. That's it. You know, and it's not that simple. Yes, it is that simple. It is that simple. The only reason why it's not simple is because you don't want to take responsibility for your happiness. That's why it's not simple. You haven't gotten to the point that you're willing to own your own happiness, and you still have some kind of a subconscious need to hold somebody else responsible for your joy. That's why it's complex. It's funny. You know.
With the germs. When Dyer was interviewed, he was talking about his doing this program in Chicago, and this woman who was a nurse or something brought the germ stuff up. And she was pinning it down and said, "Don't you believe in germs? If I had a microscope here and you saw a germ, wouldn't you believe in germs and the germs cause disease?" He said, "Well, I believe in germs. I don't believe they cause disease. But I could say, you know, there's a nurse in Chicago if you want to go visit her. She believes it causes disease."
Right.
And it was so cool because he chilled her out. Just
now, everything in the world is neutral. The Course says a germ is neutral. Everything is neutral. It's just how you want to use it. You know, you can either use it to cause you pain, or you can use it not to cause you pain. I love that idea. If you've done the workbook, you know there's a lesson that he says, you know, that the world is neutral, but I see no neutral things. Everything is neutral, but I don't have a neutral relationship with anything. Okay, so yeah, it's neutral, but depending on who I am and how I see things, that's what's going to determine what is not as neutral. So we have a tendency to condemn the neutral thing instead of realizing it's the way that you use it that's determining it, right? So once you kind of get that, it frees you up too. Especially from a lot of guilt. It's like to know that nothing's inherently guilty, but you're the one that decides that is the way out of fear and anger and guilt and everything that you're going through. So I have to watch trying to take my moral values. That's what I have to watch, is to take my belief system and then try to project it onto everybody else. And that used to blow my mind when I used to see that political stuff about the moral majority or the family values. And when I hear stuff like that, I'm basically hearing that this is a group of people that's decided what's best for everybody, and they want everybody to live according to what they think is best. That's what I'm hearing. And I know that will never work, because I'll always be the exception. So they'll go crazy if they make their peace dependent on me. You see, when you set it up like that, you're going to go crazy, because there's going to always be somebody that doesn't go along with your program. You know, so that's how people cause conflict. And I bet you anything, most of the family value people will end up being attracted to somebody that has no family values.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because why? Because they've got to learn acceptance. And so they're going to attract to them the very thing that they resist, so that they can learn how to look at it different. That's what you always do. The thing that you resist is the first thing that's going to show up in your experience for you to learn how to look at differently. Yeah. That's why I don't resist stuff. You know, if you want to be family value person, more power to you. That's okay. You got your right. Why? Because if I have that attitude, then I don't meet them. That they don't show up in my life. But if I'm an anti, you know, it's like Mother Teresa said, you know, I'll never go to an anti-war rally, but I'll certainly go to a peace rally. You know, because the thing that you're fighting against like that, that's the thing that you're going to create more of. The war on terror creates more terror. The war on drugs creates more drugs. It's not war on, you know, it's pro-peace is where you want to go. It's pro-love is where you want to go. It's pro-abundance is where you want to go, not a war on poverty. You know, I want to focus on more abundance, not on a war on poverty. You know, I want to focus on my health, not a war.
There's too much anger in this room right now for me.
I know, that's why it's usually very small.
You know, speaking of Mother Teresa, we want to talk about germs. Germs have a power. I mean, can you imagine the germs she came in contact with? She's scraping people up off the street, dealing with lepers. I mean, why didn't she have leprosy? Why didn't she have this? Then she died eventually of a heart attack just because she roared out.
She eventually died because she deserved it.
She was done.
I'm glad she died.
She was
she died. She needed to be in a loving, beautiful, peaceful place other than here. I'm looking forward to my reward. I'm serious about that. It's like one book I said that people wonder why people commit suicide, and they say, actually, I'm amazed that more people don't.
Right.
You know, you have to be a really know that you're here to learn how to evolve spiritually in order to really handle being here, because this is a really tricky place we're living in, you all. You know, it really is. If you open your eyes, you will realize that this is a call for love. This is a continual opportunity for us to learn forgiveness. Just like this book is saying, it's like what you said. Did my neighbor and I set it up where we'd have to learn this lesson? In my way of thinking, that's exactly what happened. That she wasn't really your enemy. It was just another scenario that we all join in on together in order to learn spiritual lessons.
She got the
crappy neighbor costume, and you had the nice neighbor costume, and then there have been times where you was the crappy costume and they was the nice costume, you know.
That she saw me as Christ did. I can't imagine. She saw me that way, you know. I can't imagine.
I don't know what was going on.
I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Although I would see myself that way, I can't imagine that that was her experience. Otherwise, I think it would have been a lot more fun sooner.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting how you see yourself, but you don't really know.
That's
the other thing, of course, as lesson number three or four. You know, I don't understand anything I see. You know, I don't know what anything means. I'm like, what? Yeah, that's the truth. You really don't know what anything means. You're just making up meanings to everything and then reacting as if the meanings you made up is correct. I went, wow, that's what I'm doing to get. That's what you're doing. Because you're trying to convince yourself you know what's going on. So you just judge everything and then you think you're correct. And he says, well, then how can you tell if your judgment is right? He said, well, that's easy. How much peace do you have? If you don't have peace, then your judgment is messed up some kind of way. And it's like, whoa, could it be that simple? Yes. Yes, but the average person doesn't want it to be that simple because they want to hang on to the victim consciousness and the grievances. But we've made a different choice. And that different choice is going to lead us to a life of joy and of fun and abundance and prosperity beyond anything that we could ever imagine, even though the first few steps are the hardest. And he says that the hardest part is the beginning, because in the beginning you must confront it by these beliefs that are just so opposite to what you learn, but then it gets easier because you begin to accept that it's true more and more, and as you do, things will get easier as you accept that it's true. But the hardest part is the beginning. So if a person can do the beginning, they can do all of it. But the world teaches you just the opposite. If I start the race, the end of the race is the hardest part, you know, but that's a physical thing. But from a spiritual level, it's just the opposite. The hardest part is for us to just turn ourselves in this new direction. That's the hardest part at a spiritual mental level, is will I think this way? And more than that, will I live it? That's the other thing. I can read it. Yeah, I can read. Everybody here can read. But when a situation come up that upsets me like your neighbor did, will you go within and try to change your mind? In other words, would you live your truth? You took a physical situation and you applied your truth. The average person that's on the spiritual path doesn't do that. They read books. But they deal with their physical world just like everybody else does.
The other thing for me is when you're working, you know, I'll say the word working because that's where I was coming from, but when you apply the truth and it, quote, works, well, what about when you do it? It doesn't, are you still willing to? And that's the challenge for me. Is it's great when the next door neighbor is all of a sudden responding, I see it, but what about the times when you are applying truth principles, you're not getting that thing back in the sense that you think it's going to manifest. You don't know. That to me is what the
And then it loops back to in a way. I was trying to control my neighbor by wanting my neighbor to like me.
Right.
You know, that's still me trying to control my neighbor. So really my upset is still coming from my script.
And I thought that's the way it's going to be. I'm just going to let it be. But
it was a nice bonus.
Yeah.
That it appears that it's peaceful. It was a nice bonus.
That's a beautiful way to look at it. That's exactly the way to look at it.
But I knew that still wasn't the thing.
You setting yourself up if you think that practicing the truth means it's going to always turn out the way you want it to.
Right. If you do it right.
If you do it right, and you're not going to have peace if it doesn't turn out the way you want.
Yeah, you're just creating a whole new process.
Thank you all for sharing and love offering, too. And Lisa is going to share some music with us. She's a great vocalist here at church, and she loves it. She wants to just come and sing a song for us today, too. So I thought that'd be a great way for us to complete. Doug, what were you getting ready to say?
I was just going to say that. You know, a lot of people that go a whole lifetime trying to fix that neighbor, or heal between the two, that's not really healing because you're dying, you're eating, getting eaten up inside.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the forgiveness part, the mm-hmm. choice to have peace.
Yeah.
Forgive, that's what
there you go. There you go.
That's a great analogy.
There you go.
I told her I had no idea why I had this burning passion. I had to be here. I had to rearrange things, blah, blah, blah. And I said, there's no notice. We talked about my coming to sing. I do every once in a while. It's just like, I knew this was the right time and place for me. I had no idea why. So, well, it's not usually as big of a class. I said, that isn't even it. I know there's a reason. You know, I trust and I believe it. And I'm just really grateful for our friendship and our professional relationship.
Absolutely.
I appreciate
you, too.
Mm. I appreciate everybody here. Just points of light. It's so amazing. It's just, right. That's a bonus. I was here because Spirit said, be here, do it. I'm like, but I'm supposed to be, but, how, just do it.
That's funny. That's what Jesus told Helen. Helen Schuchman, who channels the course, asked why was, you know, because she resisted it like, I don't know what. You know, she asked the boys, well, why did you choose me to do this? And the answer was so cool. It says, because I knew you would do it. Mm-hmm. I knew you would take the dictation for 7 years. Even though it was something, it took 7 years of dictation to do the course, even though you had all kinds of resistance, that's why I asked you. That's why I came to you. Because you do it. And I said, that's sanity to me. You know what I'm saying? It's like, if you want something, why don't you ask the person that wants to do it? I said, oh, what a radical concept. And I think about how many times in my life I was trying to get the woman who didn't want me. Or to get the, you know what I'm saying? You always like, and you thought that was the challenge, to get the person. It's like, no, why don't you hook up with the person that wants to hook up with me? Why don't you hook up with the person that's saying yes? I can't wait to say yes. Oh, I said, oh, good. Then, that's funny. The ego is so crazy. Bless his heart. Yeah, it is just as cute and as little insane as it can be. It's just as cute and insane.
You have to forgive the ego, too, right?
Absolutely. Because he's just doing what I taught him to do.
Yeah.
Because what is the ego? It's my made-up image of myself. It's what I'm telling myself. So really, you know, it's like a hitman that I hired that I'm trying to get in touch with to let him know I changed my mind. That, you know what I mean? I told it to get me, and now I need to tell it it's okay. You don't have to get me now. You know, I didn't love myself, so I want to do myself
easy. You need to take the ego to some of these meetings, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have
the
ego sitting right next. I mean, all of us.
Hey, Charlie McCarthy, or what, that little guy? You know,
the
little
ventriloquist.
Yeah,
right.
Little ventriloquist
guy. That's right. Okay, we ready, darling. Whenever you and you ready, we ready. Mm.
When I'm worried and I can't sleep, I count my blessings instead of sheep, and I'll fall asleep. When my bankroll was getting small, I thank my source I've got anything at all. blessings instead of sheep, and you'll fall asleep counting your blessings. If your bankroll is getting small, thank your source you've got anything at all, and you'll fall asleep counting your blessings. Let's think about
to have you around, so I'm glad that I was able to help that.
I wanted to be here so much. Thank you guys.
Thank you.
So beautifully receptive and in the conversation. What a blessing. What a blessing.
Absolutely.
You're a blessing too.
Yeah.
You're a blessing too.
Yeah, I got
you're more.
I feel so grateful. I feel so blessed.
Just what a blessing to be able to share. Together.
So, gang, we're the secret agents of love, and we're about to go back out into the lab. And just know, just the Course says, just you're remembering the truth in the presence of people. That's the healing. It has nothing to do with the words you say. It's just what you're thinking when you're around them. So the easiest way to heal people is silently. You know, there'll be some people you can talk to, but spirit to point those out.
Thank you.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we got John Christmas is gonna be here.